Radio 1 podcasts.
BBC Radio 1.
Download them for free at bbc.co.uk/radio1. The Scott Mills Daily.
It's Tuesday. Freezing. Hey, Chris, off the news.
Hey.
Hi, Simon.
Hey.
Off sport. How's it going?
All good. Right. Chilly, though.
It is cold. I wish I had done stuff since I last spoke to you, but I haven't. I was official ill boy yesterday, so I decided to sit on my sofa with a duvet like I did when I was at school. And I felt quite bad about it, like just watching TV all day, but I am fully up to date with the Kardashians.
Oh, that's good. But that would have been a perfect chance to do your triathlon, wouldn't it?
That would have involved going out of the house.
Okay.
There is triathlons going on in the UK at various cinemas. I've never seen Twilight. But I didn't want to leave. I actually haven't left the house since I went home at like midday yesterday.
Do you feel better today?
I feel much better today, thank you, Simon, for asking.
Did you sort of ingest a lot of vitamin C through oranges?
I did all that. I did everything I could. And I am, like I say, I know everything about the Kardashians now. I'm fully up to date, even up to Kim's wedding.
Ooh.
And not many people can say that, can they?
Not many.
No.
The Scott Mills Daily.
Morning, Dev.
Hello, Scott. You're right.
Yes. Can I just say that we're all very proud of you for what you did at the weekend.
Thank you very much.
Double O, Devin.
I'm a little bit worried about you, though.
Why?
With this whole Kardashians thing.
Why?
That's a really slippery slope, you know, Scott. It starts off with just that, and then you'll end up getting into shows like Chloe and Lamar. Have you seen that one?
Already seen it.
Oh, I have a friend who's obsessed with that, and I started off watching it again. Stupid.
Yeah.
And by about episode number three, I'm like, oh, I wonder what's going to happen next.
That's the thing. It just takes you in, and there is no escape.
Yeah.
I've seen the ones where they take New York, where they take Miami. Fern is the same. Fern's obsessed.
It is. It will suck you in. It's a big black hole.
And then once you start watching that channel, then it's downhill, and before you know it, you're watching Playboy Mansion, you're watching Kendra. Dev, so you were a wrestler this weekend.
That's right.
I know you've been talking about it on your show. Just wanted to get you in and say congrats, really.
Hey, thank you very much. Honestly, if for anybody who's seen the video, you'll know how absolutely ridiculous I look. But it was so much fun. Honestly, that is the most fun I think I've ever had. And obviously, being a kid, I grew up watching a lot of wrestling.
Yeah, it's a box ticked for you, isn't it?
Yeah, literally.
Amazing.
I'm done now. I've peaked. That's it.
Is that it?
Yeah.
There's nothing else to do.
No. Which is a little bit depressing, but no, it was so much fun, honestly. Really, really good bunch of lads at the whole CRW wrestling lot. Showed me the ropes, literally. Yeah.
Now, when you obviously practiced for this, did they pull out any moves that you weren't expecting when you did the real thing?
Well, it's not so much moves, right? But I guess when I was being shown stuff, we were all fully clothed, right?
So yeah.
When I'm learning how to slam somebody, it's like, all right, I've got all my clothes on. But on the day, they get quite into it and they sort of grease up and stuff. So, you know, so that your muscles look really good and pop out. They sort of like rub a bit of baby lotion on and whatever. But when you're trying to grab somebody like that, you know, they're slipping out of your hands. It's very, very tricky.
Just keep slipping out of you.
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
You ever tried to grab a greased up person? It's quite difficult.
Yeah, I have actually. Often. And it's not the easiest, is it?
No.
It's not.
Hazardous at the best of times.
So do go and watch the video.
It looks like it hurts a lot.
Do you ache?
Honestly, every single part of my body right now is just in so much pain.
You must have so many bruises.
Oh, I'm all right. It's mainly sort of my neck and a bit of my brain as well feels like it's been rattled around a little bit.
Okay, good.
I don't think that's not good news, is it?
No, that could just be the early mornings.
All right, yeah, fair enough. A combination of the both, I think. But thank you very much to the visualization team who, I don't know how they did it, but they made me actually look like I know what I'm doing.
It looks impressive.
Yeah.
You couldn't have faked that, though, I don't think. Because I was watching it going, oh, but there's no way. You had to learn that stuff.
Yeah,
it's a great video.
Yeah, including the impressive ref cam as well. I don't know if you saw that. Got a camera and a referee. But it's a little bit long. It's about 11 minutes long. But
it's
honestly,
worth it.
It's worth it. Go and have a look.
They pulled out all the stops for that video.
Really did.
Go to the Radio 1 homepage and check out Dev as a wrestler. Double old Devin.
I've retired now, by the way.
Is that it?
Yeah.
No,
sorry,
never
guys.
Again.
No. If you guys were expecting a rematch, and if it's not going to happen, I'm retired.
That's what they all say, though. It's like the ones that get out. Well, who was that famous rower who's like, if I ever get in a boat again, next Olympics, there he is. Woo!
Yeah. That's true. You'll be doing your farewell, and then in a year's time, it's like, actually, it wasn't.
Will there be like a void
like George Michael.
In my life now? I feel like I need to do it.
Yeah. Can do.
Yeah, when the money runs out, you'll be on the comeback tour.
Yes. Anyway, well done for the weekend.
Thank you very much,
Scott. Do go and watch the video because Dev hurts today. bbc.co.uk/radio1. Is it the case where even your hair hurts?
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Right, it's 6:47. Thank you, Dev.
Cheers.
Radio 1 Podcasts.
Radio 1 Podcasts. Podcast.
Right, who's on the phone? Hello, caller.
Hello.
Hello. I know you don't want to say your name, but tell me what's going on.
Well, basically, I'm ridiculously pregnant, and I've been up since 4 o'clock this morning. I'm craving a certain food chain breakfast. I don't know if I can say what it is.
Okay.
So I thought, oh, fine, I'll just go out and I'll drive out. Bearing in mind that I'm so pregnant that I can hardly turn the steering wheel in my car.
Oh, bless you.
Anyway, then I thought, so I thought I'd get to the drive-thru. No one will see me. And it's not open. So I'm now lurking outside the certain food chain, feeling pretty low at the moment. It's a bit of a low point.
Mystery caller, are you sat at a McDonald's drive-thru waiting for it to open?
Yeah, but the gate... I'm outside the car park because the gates are shut, so I'm on this, like, little side street.
Oh.
And it's quite a scary rundown part of where I live. Please don't leave me.
When are you ready to drop?
Well, anytime now, really.
Oh, no, there's someone beeping you.
Pregnant.
I think someone beeped you in the car then.
Oh, did they?
I don't know, maybe I was just hearing things.
I don't know. Right. But now I'm also going through the fact that what McDonald's are listening to the radio and are looking out for me. So then I can't be, like, the first person to arrive at the drive-thru.
Yeah, you
so
don't want to be first.
To, like,
you might be the first person to give birth in a drive-thru. I'd like it if you gave birth a window too.
Well, the window that no one uses.
Yeah, there's no everyone there.
We've talked about this before. What is the point of that window, seriously? It's always window one and then pick up at window three. Window two, redundant. Not anymore.
Only for births.
Yeah.
Just for birth.
The birthing booth.
I also had a low point of the weekend. Has anyone ever fallen asleep on a guided tour? That happened to me. I was on a boat tour of Amsterdam and I got on the wrong boat and it was the only you know, they have like automated, and in 1846, Henry VIII did this, but it's like on a recording. I got on the wrong boat and mine was only in Dutch and French. So, because they did ask, what I forgot. So I couldn't understand any of what was happening, so I just fell asleep on the tour boat, and I was clearly snoring. That's a low point, isn't it?
Yeah.
Anyway, well, you have a lovely day. Wait till someone else turns up first. You don't want to be first in that queue.
Yeah. It's not even 7 o'clock yet, is it?
Oh, it's not.
I'm really, really sad.
It's all right. Well, they open in, like, 6 minutes.
I'm so hungry.
Oh. How long have you been waiting outside that drive-thru now?
Well, I was contemplating... Well, I thought they were open at 6, but...
An hour, then. Not...
Been there, clearly an hour.
This is so bad.
You're my favourite. Okay, good luck with whatever you have. Enjoy.
I'm having a girl. Yay!
No, I meant...
Yay!
Yay! I was thinking more bacon and egg. Love you, bye!
Love you, bye!
This is a podcast from BBC Radio 1.
So Maya's been on. She's 23, but about to turn 24 in just 2 weeks. Like the detail. Morning, Maya. She says, I was listening on Monday when we found out that Becky had been cheating on her hairdresser. Well, I've done the same thing, and I'm actually glad. My new hairdresser charges less, and she cuts my hair so much better than my old hairdresser. Can you believe my old hairdresser wouldn't cut my hair as short as I wanted? She has absolutely no guilt about it whatsoever. Chris has had the same barber now for, like, what is it?
Yeah, I've been
8 million years.
About 20 years now.
Really?
But he's really good. But then saying that, maybe it's not such a bad thing going and cheating.
I think sometimes you don't know what you're missing because you've always had the same one. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, isn't your barber like a family friend of yours, though? That would be awkward.
Yes, it would be. But I don't know, maybe every now and then strain... You know, just once to make sure you're doing the right thing in the
I think so.
Isn't such a bad thing.
Well, like I said before, I got to a stage with my old hairdresser where we just ran out of things to talk about. So then that is an ideal opportunity to change, I think, because like you can only talk about holidays and like, you know, what you're doing for Christmas for so long. Do you remember that thing with Get Your Own Back when you were, what happened with that? He was involved. If you don't know this story before, Chris was on an old show called Get Your Own Back with Dave Benson Phillips back in the day.
Yeah.
And you were wronged. Well, let's bring this up again. Let's bring it.
Okay, right. Well, there's a video on... It's on YouTube. But basically... Sorry, let me cough.
Good morning.
Yeah, blimey. Yeah, I got wronged because they miscounted the petals on one of the games.
Right. So how old were you?
I was 10. Yeah. But I'm still really bitter about this because I just think I should have won Get Your Own Back. I didn't win.
How was your barber involved with that? He was somehow, wasn't he?
He was the guy that I took on Get Your Own Back.
Oh, right, so he was on it with you.
And, yeah, there was a game where I had to shoot down a load of petals.
Yeah.
And they miscounted. Basically, if you type in Get Your Own Back and Justice into YouTube, you see the video.
Did you put that video on yourself?
Yeah, of course.
Get Your Own Back and Justice. And you can see that the petals are clearly miscounted.
Yeah.
Now, I remember about a year or so ago, we actually collared, we managed to get hold of Dave Benson Phillips to try and right this wrong. And we said that we would have some kind of rematch.
Yeah.
Because did you get gunged?
No.
Oh, you
basically
wanted to get gunged.
My barber avoided the gunge because Dave Benson Phillips miscounted the petals.
Right,
that's the long and short of it.
And funnily enough, he sent me an email saying, yeah, let's do it, and then hasn't replied since. Flaky.
Well, if a rematch can be organised, I'm well up for it.
I know. Let's try and make this happen because it's clearly the wrong petals it's clear to see.
Yeah, well, it's a massive injustice in TV history, I think.
Good morning. It's 7:25. Right, I'm going to play Birdie and People Help the People. Becky's got a new favourite book, haven't you?
Yes.
Yes. But you're slightly worried about the author.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we'll talk about this after 7:30. Also, we have updated our CVs today because we've got an expert, a nice lady coming in about 8:30 this morning. And she is going to tell us what we've done wrong and basically pull them apart. But also what we've done right. Now, Becky, you've done your CV? When was the last time you updated yours?
A couple of years ago.
Okay.
I haven't spritzed it with my signature scent yet.
Are you going to do that?
Yeah, I brought it in especially.
So it smells real nice.
Mm.
I think that would help.
I really wanted to put it on yellow paper, but they didn't have any upstairs. What? I want to stand out. Don't they say that? Like, you have to make it original so that they read it. Because sometimes they get loads of CVs.
I used to get, a girl... When I was working at a station in Bristol, I used to get a girl write to me, and she would cover it in, the strongest-smelling perfume ever, and I knew that it was a letter from Charlotte straight away, because you'd open it and be like, whoa! She works at Heat Magazine now. She does.
Is she that weird stalker one that then wrote a book and you were in it?
Yes, her.
Oh, yes.
You could smell her letters a mile off.
I've heard about her.
Yeah, have you?
Yeah.
Yeah, she did. She was quite full on back in the day. But she's very successful now.
She wrote
a book and I was in it as her first crush. your letters used to stink. Anyway, I've not really done CV for a year, so I might be way off. I don't know. With references and stuff, I haven't put them on yet. Who can I put? Can I put the Hoff?
The Hoff?
Yeah.
When has he been your boss?
Never, but it's a good reference to have. Surely, if you've got David Hasselhoff as your reference, they're going to give you the job, or maybe not, actually. That could go one of two ways. Right, I need this lady in my life. We'll speak to her at 8:30. I've got no idea.
Radio 1.
Download them for free at bbc.co.uk/Radio 1.
Right, Greg James. He's on 1 till 4 in the afternoon, and he's got a new thing called Star Caller. Did you hear this yesterday? Really good. Imagine, who can I ask? Chris Smith off the news. Imagine if you could be phoned up by your favourite star, your favourite celebrity ever. Who would that be?
That's a hard one. Either Emily Maitlis off Newsnight.
Are you serious?
Or President Barack Obama.
Ooh. Yeah, that might be a tough call. We could probably get Maitlis.
No, definitely President Obama.
Okay, right. So imagine the phone's ringing. This is all on Greg's show in the afternoon. Somehow he's managed to secure a call with Barack Obama. And you answer the phone. Go, what do you say?
Hello, it's Chris Smith off the news.
Hi. Barack Obama here.
No actual way.
The President of the United States of America.
Yes, I know who you are.
How are you?
Good. Yeah. What do you want?
You wouldn't say, what do you want? You wouldn't say that.
Kind of on a schedule, because we're late for the news already, so if you could hurry it up, Mr. President.
Anyway, so that's the idea on Star Caller. So it was a bloke called Gavin, one of our listeners yesterday, and this is what happened. His favourite celebrity is James Corden, and just happens to be called Gavin. Gavilar. So, they got Corden to call up Gavin. Here's what happened.
Hello?
Gavin?
No.
Oh, is Gavin around?
Who's speaking, please?
It's James Corden.
No, James is in uni.
Oh, who's this?
This is his dad, Taff.
Taff? Why hasn't he got his phone with him?
He probably has, mate. What it is where he's living in Rossa, in Aberystwyth, sometimes you can get a signal, sometimes you can't.
Right.
But he's definitely got his phone in because we spoke to him last night.
Oh.
He went to university, didn't he tell you?
He didn't tell me, no. I've not been in much contact with him recently.
Yeah, he went to university, let me think, about 2 weeks ago.
Now, so Gavin's dad is in no way fazed by the fact that James Corden just called up. In fact, I don't think he's even got a clue who he's talking to.
Where are you ringing from?
I'm in London.
Oh, you're the one to do with the agency?
No.
No?
No.
Oh, right.
What agency?
Oh, no, I thought you was an agency. No?
No, I'm not in an agency, no.
Oh, right.
Have you ever seen a TV show called Gavin and Stacey?
Yes, I'm a big fan of Gavin and Stacey.
Well, I wrote that show. I play Smithy in that show.
Oh, hey, do you know what? I got every box set, right?
Oh.
Every box set you can think of, and my mum and dad was from Barry.
Really?
Right, my mum and dad's from Barry, and I tell you something, Vanessa, the way you play your part, I'm a big fan of you.
Oh, Taff, I appreciate that very much.
You just said you are. You know, I sit upstairs, and I watch Gavin and Stacey all the time, and it's the most amazing programme. I'm hoping they're going to do another series.
Thank you. Well, we're not, but we might make a special.
So, but the day, when you went up to London, and then you get next with a baby and everything.
Yeah.
It was awesome. But I will ring him and tell him that you've been trying to get hold of him.
I appreciate that,
Taff.
I'll get
him to ring you.
Thank you so much. Yeah, get him to call me. Get him to give me a ring.
I will, definitely.
All right. Cheers,
thanks
mate.
So bye-bye.
See you, Taff. Bye.
So, now, I love the fact that he has realised now, and obviously he's a big fan of James Corden as well. But he's chatting away. He's not fazed by it at all.
I love that.
Oh, I love your part. I do. It's like, imagine, right? So Barack Obama calls. Your wife answers.
Oh.
Yeah.
That'd be hard. She really wouldn't know who he was.
No, she wouldn't.
It's like Grazia.
So eventually, we get through to Gav on Starcaller. Now, James Corden is Gavin's absolute favourite celeb. What do you think Gav will say to James Corden? I will. If you heard this yesterday, it doesn't count. But if you didn't, I will give you 50 Scott Mills points if you can guess what Gavin said to James Corden.
Something about his dad being a big fan.
Okay. Simon, off the spot.
I'm going to go with one of his catchphrases.
Gavilar?
Yeah, I'll go with that one.
Becky?
Can you call me back in 5 minutes, please? I've just got I'm in a meeting.
Chris?
Oh, what's occurring?
Here's the first thing that you said. 50 points if you get it right.
Hello?
Gavin?
Yeah?
It's James Corden here. How are you?
Holy bejesus. Okay, I never expected that.
Oh, yeah. 50 Scott Mills points if you said, holy bejesus. Podcast. Right, a few people are complaining about the typing noise that was on recently in the last half hour. That's because Becky is hurriedly updating her CV because we've got an expert coming in at 8:30 to critique them, and she ain't finished it. By the way, don't use coloured paper. They said on Up For Hire last night, coloured paper is the worst thing you can use when trying to impress a potential employer. So don't use the yellow, just go standard white, all right? So that's at 8:30. And also, Becky's got a new book. Who's the author?
Alan Sugar.
You're worried about him, right?
A bit, yeah.
He's going mad.
A bit, yeah.
Okay, we'll talk about this in a minute. And also there'll be a little quiz. How much do you know about Alan Sugar? You may be shocked and surprised. Radio 1 Podcast. Now, Becky has been reading Alan Sugar's new book recently. Mm-hmm. You love a book, don't you?
I do, I read a lot.
You do?
Yeah. Why do you say it like that?
You love
a
book.
As if it's wrong to read.
There's nothing wrong with reading.
I love it.
I know. I wish I could read more books. I mean, I know I could, but I don't. I'm just happy with the magazine. You know I'm all about the magazines. Have you been on a journey with me?
You're the best person to travel with because you buy up the newsagents before you go. You have two carrier bags full of just tat.
I buy everything.
It's amazing. And you read each one within about 2 minutes.
Yeah. I'm like, do you want the one about Jennifer Aniston's diet or do you want one about Kenny Rowland's boobs?
It's brilliant sitting next to you on any form of transport.
It's highbrow. Anyway, so your new book is Alan Sugar's latest offering,
mm-hmm.
and it's all about Sir Alan's, Lord Alan's, views on the world.
It's how Alan sees it.
It's how Alan sees it.
Yes.
And
the little, the subtitle bit is Rants, Revelations and Rules for Life. So I was kind of seeing, it's almost like a self-help book, I'd say.
Wow. And it kind of contains stuff that you may not know about Lord Sugar.
Mm-hmm.
So what we're going to do is a quiz led by Becky. How much do you know about Alan Sugar? Becky's going to ask the questions. Me and my mate Chris here.
Hi.
We'll try and answer them. And the voice of Alan Sugar, actual quotes from the book, will be read out by Chris Smith off of Newsbeat. Hi.
Hi.
Who's very much looking forward to this.
I know.
And sees this maybe as a gateway to getting some work in audiobooks.
I'm thinking of this as my kind of audio CV.
Audiobooks are huge.
I know.
Are they bigger than those little Kindle things? I find them a bit weird.
Yeah. This is just the start for me.
Those little things.
I see people with them on trains and I'm like, I find that weird. Just buy a book.
Have you seen those mini books you can get now, which is like whole novels but in a like kind of about 10 centimetres by 5?
No.
What sort of eyesight do you have to read them? They're crazy. You get them at the till in bookshops.
No, I haven't seen them.
No.
Anyway.
Too busy watching Kardashians.
Yeah, I'm up to date with Chloe and Lamar. Okay, so let's do it. How much do you know about Alan Sugar?
I'm going to give... There's 5 questions, so I'm going to give you 20 Scott Mills points for each one you get right. So potentially you could walk away with 100 Scott Mills points.
That is amazing. Play along at home or on the way to work or school.
Okay, question number one. Does Lord Sugar like his catchphrase shouted at him? You know his catchphrase?
You're fired.
Yeah. And does he love it when people shout that at him in the street?
Obviously, all celebrities love it when you shout out the catchphrase. I have shouted, "I don't believe it," to Victor Meldrew in the street before. He loved it. Ruth Jones off Gavin and Stacey still loves it, even now when you shout, "Oh, what's occurred in?" across a busy street at her. What's not to love? So I'm saying, yes, he loves it. Chris, what are you saying?
Yeah, I'm sure he loves it, surely. Is it a catchphrase? I mean,
if you've got a catchphrase, embrace it. You can't be like saying, "Don't shout that out to me in the street," because you invented it. It's your fault. So I'm saying yes.
You get the odd idiot, normally a drunk, who shouts, "You're fired," which is pathetic, as if I hadn't heard it 1,000 times before. And my response usually makes them shrink and hide themselves away.
Now, I'm slightly concerned because in the book, he did no points, by the way.
No.
He doesn't actually say what his response is.
I would like to know.
I'm thinking maybe a moon.
Well, he moons at them.
Yeah. Because that would make me shrink and hide away.
Imagine in the street, you're just like, "You're fired!" And Alan Sugar drops trowel.
He sprinkles them with salt. Makes you shrink.
I want to know what the response is badly.
He doesn't say.
Okay.
Okay.
Next.
Question number two. What's Lord Sugar's latest diet tip? Now, he doesn't strike me as one who's, like, ever been conscious about his weight, but he is.
No, I reckon he's one of those businessmen that gets up well early and just eats really healthily and goes to the gym at, like, 5 a.m. I reckon he is.
Okay, so you're saying
he's very focused.
Healthy lifestyle.
His diet tip?
Yeah.
Don't eat carbohydrates after 6 p.m.
Yeah, he doesn't strike me as a no carbs before Marbs style figure.
Do you think he goes to Marbs often?
Maybe.
What was that show he had with Piers Morgan where he had that lush house? That was somewhere like Marbs. Anyway,
I don't know. I reckon all he eats is red meat.
Rah.
Lion.
Like a caveman.
Yeah.
Me, Lord Sugar. Okay, he's saying red meat. I'm saying no carbs after 6.
Here's one of my latest tips I'm currently experimenting with. The tiny fork diet. Try it. You'll get bored of trying to plough through your plate of food with a little fork. So much so, it might tire you out.
Oh my God.
This is amazing.
Actually is going
mad.
So
he went to a restaurant and they gave him a little tiny fork to get something out of his shellfish. And he loved it so much. Look, there's a picture in his book of him with his normal... This is what he was like before, with his big fork. And there's the little fork next to it. He's so proud he's taken a picture.
So he must have to carry that tiny fork
with
him everywhere.
He says his wife has told his wife to go out and buy 6 forks for him. These little ones, which he now takes to other restaurants.
I'd like if he had a whole set, like a tiny cup.
Look how proud he is. He's so excited that he's finally got the solution to weight loss.
That's page 94 of the book, Sir Alan's weight loss tip. Just use a smaller fork. And it is a considerably smaller.
It is. It's tiny.
All right, no points again. Next.
What's Alan's party trick?
Is it the elephant? I don't know, Chris.
I reckon he can touch his nose with his tongue.
Okay.
No, I've changed mine. I reckon he can drink beer through a sock in like 3 seconds, a pint.
Challenge people to balance a wine cork on the edge of their glass. They fall for it hook, line and sinker. Of course, you can't do it. It's impossible. Sometimes I challenge people to bet on whether I can do it. They get so excited, open brackets, as it's impossible to do, close brackets, that they'll bet me a fiver or a tenner.
So his party trick is to balance a cork on the glass. But then he tells you in the book exactly how to do it, and it involves two of his miniature forks.
Right, so you have to have the forks to be able to do it.
Yeah.
Which not everyone will have. Just Sir Alan. So he's kind of... He's onto a winner there. Like, you're going to lose.
That's how he made half his money.
He's gone mad.
Okay, next. What's his favourite sport? And, for bonus Scott Mills points, what injury has stopped him playing?
I think... Javelin. And he had a terrible incident once with a javelin. His ear fell off or something.
Okay.
Right, I'm thinking he's a classic squash player. He's got to be squash.
Yes, he would play squash.
That's an executive sport,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, it certainly is, yeah. Posh sport, yeah. I was playing with squash, lads. What's the injury, though?
Oh, I don't know. Ball in face.
You're close. I have a tennis court at home.
Yeah.
However, 40 odd years of pounding away on the tennis court has taken its toll on my groin.
Ah!
Lad.
No points
again. You got any
so
more?
So he got groin strain from tennis. Last one. Who is his least favourite person at a photo shoot? Quite specific, this question. So.
His least favourite person at a photo shoot?
Yeah.
I'm saying...
You're never going to get it, just make something up.
The makeup lady.
Okay, Chris?
I'm going to go the photographer.
The slippery photographer's assistant.
Oh!
Who comes along with a few props. It's usually some dolly bird in skinny jeans and a blouse with half her anatomy hanging out, smiling at you and being awfully polite, saying... Would you mind just holding this cup, Lord Sugar? The cup most probably has got something like grumpy old man written on it. No, I'm sorry, darling, it's not on. Would you hold this live chick? No, sorry, not on.
He is brilliant. I need to read this book immediately.
Am I the only person who's wondering why Alan Sugar has to hold a live chick? That's not part of anything he does, is it?
I don't know.
That's not his, like, his catch... You know, he's got a catchphrase. It's not like a catch pet.
Yeah. Can you hold this chick? Why? Well, that's
love
brilliant.
Him. Love
I love him. I am going to take on board that tiny fork diet
tip. I'm definitely doing that today.
I'm not going to play any squash. That's brilliant. Have you got any more? Is there more? Is it just a minefield of brilliant quotes?
It's never ending in this book.
Incredible. Well, let me know how you did with your Scott Mills points on how much do you know about Alan Sugar. I enjoyed that very much.
The Scott Mills Daily.
Yesterday was a dark day in my life because, as you know, I cannot live without my phone for more than about 5 minutes. And I had to because, well, this is quite... the biggest technological cock-up I've done for quite some time. And I'm blaming you, Becky.
Right. Why is it my fault?
Okay.
I was just there to help you.
Yesterday, I got a new phone. So I tried to transfer all my contacts from the old phone to the new one. So I did a backup on my computer, which I bought in specially. Becky helped me through it. She was there to help. Didn't help.
No, I did say to you... I did say to you, because when the computer was rebooting to plug the new phone in, you were ready to delete your old phone, and I said, just wait.
No, you said
and you
delete.
Pressed, no, you
went,
you pressed,
you went what can go wrong now?
No,
yeah, just erase everything.
You pressed erase all settings, and even at the point where I asked you again, you went, oh, yeah, okay, just do it. I was like, no, wait.
Went, now, I've got a different sequence of events that I remember. I remember... it asking me a second time, it went, are you sure you want to delete everything off this phone? And you went, yeah. Can't go wrong now, can it?
No,
can I find the backup anywhere? No. Can I find any of my contacts? No. Have I had to start again from scratch? Yes.
So have you lost everyone's numbers?
I don't have anyone's number now.
You don't have the half?
I don't have anyone.
Is this why when I text you yesterday, I just got a really rude text back?
What did I say?
Who is this?
Who is it? Well, that's the thing. And it just appears rude, because it's people you've known for years, and you just end up going, who is that? It's the longest, long thing in the world. So I apologise. If you send me a text today, and I put, who's that, back, that's why. I have no recollection of who you are.
Can't you just ask people to send you their numbers?
Well, should I do that? That's a bit bad on radio.
Well, it's a bad situation.
It is a bad situation.
You've got yourself into it.
Not helped by you. So if I do know you, can you... I feel bad doing this, but this is the only way I'm going to get my life back on track. Can you text me and tell me who you are, please? Because that would really help me out, because I'm starting from square one here. So just text me, tell me who you are, and then I can re-put your number in my phone, which has zero contacts.
Oh, you've lost everyone. Have you lost Barry Chuckle?
I've lost Barry Chuckle.
Have you lost Michelle Dubry as well?
Michelle Dubry, One Direction, they've all gone. No one. Chico's gone.
Dan in Blackburn's been on. Says, don't worry, you can get Harry Styles' number again off the podcast.
How have we managed to mess this up so bad? I just don't understand. I backed it up. I wish I had a recording yesterday of when I went, should I delete?
No, well, because it would say is, well, no, wait until we've restarted it.
No, because I reckon there's someone else in the office that will vouch for what I'm saying. You went, can't go wrong now, can it? Erase.
No, I didn't.
Erase all settings. That's what she said. So please text me and tell me who you are. That would really help me. I was so upset yesterday. Gutted.
Radio 1 Podcasts.
Radio 1 Podcasts.
Podcast.
Sorry, I messed up big time yesterday. I've lost all my numbers in my phone, so I'm having to start again. Now, since I asked some people to text me with their number, some people have. Yeah. I've just had one. Oh, it's Michelle Dubry off The Apprentice, like you said.
Oh, that's nice.
Well, she just texted me saying, fear not, Scott. This is to my mobile. Here's my number. Love you, Michelle Dubry. I just called it off air. It was actual Michelle Dubry.
I love the ones that are coming on 81199. My favourite is, hi, Lord Sugar here. This is my new number. Do not give it to Becky. She is just not on. Thanks. P.S. You're fired. Ha ha. Lol. Two kisses.
That's probably not him.
How can you tell?
I don't know. I just got a feeling. Comedy Dave's just been on. Thank you, Dave. Good. My friend
this
Rob.
This is showing who your friends are, isn't it?
Friend Rob.
All the nice ones that are texting you.
Yeah. Who else? Okay, here's one. This has come through to my phone. Hi, this is Barry Chuckle. I hear you wanted my number again. Lots of love, Baz. Now, he wouldn't put that, would he?
Yeah, he's a nice guy. Ring it, ring it.
Oh, I'm scared. Ring what it. If it's someone that's not
no,
him?
No, if it's him, he's just like, hello, call. Scott.
Give should I? Call.
He's a really nice guy every time we've done stuff with him.
That's definitely cool.
Really?
Ring it.
Oh, no, but it's probably not. Hang on. Oh, I've saved it as the wrong person now. That's really confusing. I've saved Barry Chuckle as Michelle Dubry.
Oh, no, that's going to lead to all sorts of...
Oh, no, who's this?
Hello?
Hello? Is that Barry Chuckle?
I'm Barry, yeah.
Right, that's not Barry Chuckle.
No, it's not.
Who is it?
It's Internet Sam.
Oh. You loser, Bailey!
What are you doing? Right, thank you.
He's got a new job in a really...
Okay, bye.
He's got a new important job, so now obviously he's having to find fun in other ways, like pranking you.
That's Sam there. He used to work on the Radio 1 website.
This is a podcast from BBC Radio 1.
Stuff happening today. George Clooney is now dating a wrestler. Sorry, girls, he's off the market. I love it when people say that. It's like, yeah, even if they're on the market, are they really going to go for you? We've talked about this before. I know you. You know what I mean? It's like, oh, yeah, Cheryl Cole's back on the market. Yeah, but let's be realistic, you know?
He's been out with other radio sidekicks. Why not me?
That is true, actually.
What are you saying?
You've got a good point there. In fact, you're probably more likely than
I'm
most.
I'm national, man.
You're what?
I said I'm national.
That's my favourite. Anyway, I reckon that George Clooney heard Dev doing his wrestling in 00 Devon. And he thought, I'd like a piece of that. Not Dev, but like another wrestler. Also, Adele says that Americans think she's posh. They think that's an actual posh accent. And J-Lo has been spotted in a car with Bradley Cooper, so now everyone thinks they're dating.
Radio 1 podcast.
Download them for free at bbc.co.uk/Radio 1.
Right, so it's all about looking for work this week. Obviously, it's a bit of a tough time at the moment for a lot of people trying to find work. If you are trying to get like the first foot in the door or trying to find a new job at the moment, Radio 1 and BBC 3 can help you this week. Up for hire. Go to the Radio 1 homepage, and there is so much stuff on there if you are looking for work at the moment. And even if you're not, do take the Get Yourself Hired test. It's not like one of those magazine ones where it's like A, B or C. It's actually a really good test. It'll take you about 20 minutes, and it will kind of highlight what your strengths and weaknesses are and what your skills are in that area. So it just takes 20 minutes, and it's part of like a real study. So you will get a much clearer idea. Soraya is here. Soraya Pugh, hi.
Hi.
Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
Now, you are an expert.
Apparently so.
I get a little bit worried about experts, Soraya.
Do you?
Yeah, because...
Why is that?
Well, because generally in life, I bluff my way through it.
Well, you've done pretty well.
Well, thanks. Yeah, I really have. I have blagged it, haven't I? But you're here to help us a little bit. We've all done our CVs. This Up for Hire thing is going all over the BBC. And as part of it, we've told all our listeners as well, we told them yesterday, to do their CVs.
Right.
And all of them have.
Have like, they?
Yeah.
Wow.
Basically, whatever I say, they just go, okay, Scott, and do it. So they've all done their CVs.
Brilliant.
Yeah. Now, I know that you've been looking through ours, which we'll get to in just a moment.
I have, yes.
Oh, God. what are the main mistakes that people kind of do when they're putting a CV together? Because obviously it's really important to make an impression, a first impression.
Absolutely. Most employers only spend about 60 seconds looking at a CV, so you've really got to differentiate yourself very quickly. So it's really important to be concise and clear, to really sell yourself.
Okay. I've done that in mine.
Well, I stand out because I sprayed mine, didn't I?
Yeah, we'll get to that in a minute.
Yes, we will.
I've got something. God, yes, we will. Yes. That was the vocal equivalent of red pen, wasn't it? Yeah. Yes, we will. I've got some here that are kind of common things that people put on their CV. These have actually happened. These aren't ours. These are just some of the ones that we found.
Please call me after 5:30 because I'm self-employed and my employer doesn't know that I'm looking for another job.
That's not good, is it?
No. That's probably not what you want to put on your CV. It's not very professional. I'd advise against putting that sort of stuff on your CV.
Here's a good one.
I procrastinate, especially when the task is unpleasant.
Once again, that's a big thumbs down from you, Soraya.
Yes. Big.
Yeah. Even I know that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think mine is as bad as these.
I would like to work for a company that is very lax when it comes to tardiness. I'm very bad about time and don't mind admitting it. Having to arrive at a certain hour doesn't make sense to me. What does make sense is that I do the job. Any company that insists upon rigid time schedules will find me a nightmare.
Right. That's probably not the best thing to put. However, that probably could apply to me.
Yeah, you're not very good with timing at all.
Well, no, but I can turn up for my show.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
Salary requirements. The higher, the better.
Should you not put salary requirements on the CV? Not like that.
I wouldn't, no.
The higher the better. Right, so should we go through ours?
Yes, should we do that?
Okay,
who wants to go first?
Let's do Becky's first.
Oh. Okay. So, Becky, when I first picked up your CV, there was a very strong stench.
That's
my signature
scent. It stinks. It's lovely. And I think it's very important to be memorable, but you want to be memorable for the right reasons.
Do you get many CVs sent to you that are sprayed, Soraya?
I have had a few CVs sent to me in the past. I've had flowers sent to me with a CV. So
nice touch.
Of bribery.
Did it work?
No. I've had coloured CVs, so the paper is bright pink or luminous
yellow. No, not a fan of that?
Not ideal. As I said, you want to be memorable for the right reasons, and you want your CV to look professional, be concise and
clear. You can still look professional on yellow paper, though.
Well, I don't think so. I think that from the employers that we speak to, that probably doesn't go down too well.
All right, cool. What else... has Becky done there?
So on Becky's CV, the email address you've put, Becky, sexybex21@hotmail.co.uk.
That's her one. That's her Hotmail one from ages ago, isn't it?
Yeah.
Not the right email address that you want to be using. Once again, I would just stick to first name dot last name.
Right.
Okay.
So not ideal.
Not sexy backs.
No. When you talk about your degree, in brackets you put shows I worked hard but also like to go out. Now, whilst that may be true, it doesn't need to be on your CV, so okay. Irrelevant.
I think that was a note to me that I forgot to take off, so another tip is always double check it before you...
Yes, I think a spell check and, maybe get a second opinion on your CV is always useful.
Should you not talk about socialising at all in your CV? Because it's a big part of my life.
I think you can put in your interest section that you enjoy socialising with your friends. Yeah, it shows that you're a personable person.
And
but,
people like you, yeah.
Yes, but I wouldn't say I enjoy going down the pub every night having a beer.
Okay, cool. All right, so Becky's is good or not?
So Becky's is good, needs some improvement. But what I do like about it is that it's short and to the point. I would probably add a few bullet points as well, just to make it a bit clearer so it stands out. But yes, a bit more professional will be my takeaway.
Because mine's just on one page.
Well, that's good,
though. Heard that one was quite a good thing to do. So yeah. Just fill it out a bit
absolutely.
More.
Absolutely. You don't want your CV to be longer than two pages.
Oh, there's no danger of that with mine. What about Chris, mate here?
Should we go to Chris's? Yeah. So Chris, your CV is 2.5 pages
long.
Yes.
So probably a bit too long. You want, as I said, employers don't spend too long looking through CVs. They often receive between 40 and 60 CVs per vacancy. So what you want this to be a snapshot, and you want them to sort of, you don't want them to skim through it, you want them to read everything.
Where do you stand with putting a picture on a CV? Because a lot of people are asking on the text.
So I would advise against it, and Chris has a picture here of Dappy, I think it is giving him a kiss.
Me and Dappy,
yes.
That was in Edinburgh when we did our show from the festival. It's Dappy giving Chris a kiss, and he seems to be wearing one of his chains around his neck.
We swapped clothes. What I thought this would show is that I'm obviously good with working with celebrities and difficult people.
Well, I think you can put... You can put that in your CV. I wouldn't say that picture says that to me.
What else have you done wrong?
So I think, once again, the email address, chris.stark@youshoulddefinitelyhireme.co.uk. I did actually get a CV in a few years ago, which the email address was giveme.ajob@hotmail.com. Mm. So not ideal.
No.
I think the CV is also... It's quite messy in that we go from professional experience to additional skills, employment history, achievements, and right at the end we've got objectives. I put the objectives at the front.
Okay.
And then go into your education, your professional experience, and then go into your additional skills and interests. So I think you just want it to be really organised. You want to make it easy on the eye for the employer to look through.
References should go last, shouldn't they?
References should go last.
About Chris's references?
So if we look at Chris's references, he's put his best mate, he's put... Mark Zuckerberg.
Yeah, my theory with that is that he probably knows me better than anyone.
Do you think?
Well, he's got everything about me on Facebook, isn't he? So you can't...
Well, have you met him, and does he...
Would he say yes to a reference?
What's the rules with references? Because I put Scott as my reference on this.
I haven't even asked about this.
Well, Scott, I would ask each person you put as a referee, I would ask them first whether they're happy with it. Because what you don't want is a...
Are you happy to be my reference?
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. Brilliant. So what you want is the employer to contact the person and they will say nice things about you.
Okay.
I wouldn't put your best mate. You want to have
someone a bit further away.
Yes.
Can you put, as his last reference, Tom, founder of MySpace? Who's the one friend that everyone had on MySpace back in the day?
Probably not.
Don't know him either, do you really?
No.
In fact, definitely not.
Okay. No. All right. Okay, let's do mine then.
Okay.
Oh, God.
So,
Okay, good.
Now, this is, all these CVs are good. There's just a few little tweaks to make them a lot better.
Okay, do tell.
So, I like the length of it.
Thanks.
Nice and clear.
Okay.
I think that you're you're a bit too open. You need to view your CV as your as a personal sales pitch, not as a biography.
Okay.
So there's a lot of irrelevant information here.
Like?
Like, I was the youngest DJ in the country, although I wasn't very good.
Right.
Now, okay. You might think that, but others
well, I wasn't,
you
so I was great. Awful. Well, I put on this stupid voice.
Well, you were probably quite good, because you're here now, aren't okay. you? So, and then you talk, you mentioned why you left GWR-FM Bristol, so I was marched out of the building at the end of this job, but it was not my fault.
Well, it wasn't.
Too much information, irrelevant,
so you don't, you shouldn't say that I was, like, taken out by two securities?
No.
Okay.
I don't think...
I don't want to go into that on air, that. But...
Yeah. And finally...
It was their fault.
And finally, you say, BBC Radio 1, my employer to the present day, enough said. Don't use any slang on your CV.
Right, okay.
Anything else?
Because this
ideal.
Is my first CV for a while.
I think hobbies and interests, swimming, best at breast.
Well, that's true. I can't do backstroke.
Well, you could say I...
So I just put swimming.
Stroke.
Okay, too much detail.
Too much detail, exactly. It's too open. And you can use your interests, you know, wisely, and they can enhance your CV. You don't want them to...
So what are the best hobbies to put down, then?
Yeah, that's what I really want to know.
Well, I think you can, as I said, you can use them really wisely. So, for example, if you're applying for a role where you don't have much experience, so if you're applying for a role within retail or for a food company, you might want to say that you... are really interested in nutrition, or you follow certain foodie blogs, and that can really show your interest and your passion. But I think you know, you want to be honest, because it gives the employer an insight into your personality and whether you'll be a good personality fit.
That's true, actually, because I once went for a job and I didn't really know what was going on, a food magazine, and I put that I loved a particular, like, kitchen catalogue, and they actually, as the woman was walking me to the interview room, she said, that stood out because you were so obsessed with this catalogue, and we all
really
love
good.
It here, so that's why we invited you. And I was like, yes.
I've
so
got a couple of questions. Someone says on the text, this is Alice, what's the ideal font and size to use on a CV? There's some quite good questions.
Right, OK. So I would go for Arial or Calibri.
Not Comic Sans.
That's very in right now, isn't it?
Yeah.
Or Comic Sans. but I would keep it at font size 10. I would bold the titles. Formatting is really important, so make sure your formatting is consistent throughout the CV.
No coloured paper. Don't spray it with perfume.
Don't spray it with perfume. Memorable for all the right reasons, not the wrong ones.
Will's been on saying, can I get all this info online later because I'm at work? Yes, go to the Radio 1 homepage. There's so much stuff on there about all this. With my references, I didn't put them on, Soraya, yet because I wanted to pick your brains about this.
Sure.
Can I put David Hasselhoff?
Do you know him?
Yes.
Would he give you a reference
yes.
if someone called you?
I think...
Called him, sorry?
I think so.
Okay.
I think he would.
Okay.
Would that put the employers off? Or is it a good thing? I don't know. It could go one way or the other.
Well, it depends on the role that you're going for. You want to make sure your CV is really relevant to the role that you're going for. So if the Hoff is a relevant reference, shove him on there.
When is he not relevant?
It's all about the Hoff.
Okay, cool. Well, we've got loads of stuff there. So ours needs some work, obviously.
Needs some work, yes.
But that is the first time I've done one since I was like 17. So thank you very much for coming in today.
Thank you for having me. It's been fun.
And don't forget, take the Get Yourself Hired test on the Radio 1 homepage. It'll take you 20 minutes, but it'll really give you an idea of kind of where you are with all this. And Soraya, thanks again. Podcast. So we did our CVs yesterday because it's Up for Hire week on Radio 1 and on BBC 3. It's all about looking for jobs, looking for work. Go to the Radio 1 homepage. There's so much stuff on there if you are out of work at the moment or you're thinking of getting a new job. bbc.co.uk/radio1. Chris Smith is here off the news.
Yes, I am.
Hello. The voice of authority. And you have got another challenge that all of the team, all of us lot, have to do today.
Yep. You ready to take it to the next level?
Let's take it.
You have mastered your CV... Congratulations.
Well, you say that.
You've now been invited for a job interview.
Oh, no.
Today, you will travel to Oxford to be interviewed for the role of Marketing Online Store Manager for an online retailer of contemporary lifestyle headphones in the UK.
You will be interviewed for the post by Deborah Meaden off of Dragon's Den.
God. Are you serious?
She will choose which of you, if any, she would give the job to. Small print, you won't actually get this job. It's for interview practice and to highlight common interview mistakes.
Okay, rewind. So today we're going to Oxford.
We're going to Oxford.
To see Deborah Meaden off Dragon's Den.
That's right.
And we're each going to be interviewed by her.
Yeah, for this job. Marketing online store manager for an online retailer of contemporary lifestyle headphones in the UK.
What does that mean?
I don't know.
That might be question one.
I'm no good at job interviews.
No, neither am I. Don't what? Even talk to me about job interviews. I've had about 20 just in this building.
Never get them, no?
No.
I went for one at a radio station when I was 18, and I turned up at the wrong place. Supposed to be in Milton Keynes. I turned up at Dunstable.
Oh.
Didn't realise they had two buildings that were quite far apart. That didn't go well.
My favourite was my friend Carl, who went for lunch at a topless bar before his interview because he didn't realise what it was. He was just sat there for an hour. He was too scared to leave. So he's got like an interview in 15 minutes and he's having a burger in this.
What, in Hooters?
Yeah.
That's my favourite. What did you do before your interview? Just went to Hooters and had a burger.
You could totally do that in Oxford today.
Are we allowed to do that? lad.
I've never done a job interview, though. The only interview I've ever done was for the uni that I was applying for, and I didn't get in.
Okay, good.
So,
right, so today we're all going to meet Deborah Meaden. She's the scary one.
No, I'm really excited about meeting her.
No, I am, but I'm also... I'll be like, what's Hillary like? But I'm also scared of her.
Don't you can ask that.
Why not?
No, it's she's interviewing you, not you interviewing her.
All right, so I can't ask any questions.
Yeah, it's the other way
around. At the end, they usually say, have you got any questions you want to ask me?
But I don't know anything about marketing or headphones. Does that matter?
You wear headphones all the time.
Oh, God. Okay, right. So you'll hear how we get on tomorrow. And Chris, off the news, thank you very much for saying us that quite daunting challenge.
Pleasure.
Radio 1 Podcasts.
Podcast. Right, okay, let's do Dear Scott. It's the posh Radio 4 lady with what you have been saying. What are you saying this week on email? scott.mills@bbc.co.uk. Please could you send in some more? Because the posh Radio 4 lady would hate to have nothing to say. Send an email. Anything at all. Any questions? Anything that you want to tell me about your life? scott.mills@bbc.co.uk. Send it today. Get read out on air tomorrow.
Dear Scott, I was listening to you and Becky the other day talking about not leaving Christmas present shopping till the last minute, and completely agree with you. So I thought I'd help you with this by getting my request in early of what I'd like you to get me, like Becky has done too.
Why am I suddenly buying everyone Christmas presents?
Are you saying you're not going to buy them for this person?
When was this decided?
I want either a Snuggie for dogs in size extra small, not for use of a dog, but for my cat, Gizmo. A grow-your-own gay best friend, because every girl needs at least one man she can trust. A tandem space hopper. From Jade, X.
Okay, thanks, Jade. What's grow-your-own gay best friend?
I don't know, but I like the tandem space hopper idea. Does one go at the front and one go at the back, or are you side by side?
I think I've actually seen those gay best friend things. You know, it's in those kind of trendy shops where you get kind of like novelty items.
The miniature ones, the real small.
Yeah, I've seen those.
What, you get a really small man?
You get a small, it looks like Morph.
Yeah.
In a little plasticine thing,
that's it.
Yeah.
I think that's what Jade's talking about. All right, cheers, Jade. Watch the floodgates open now. I'm going to have everyone sending me emails about what they want for Christmas. I'm not going to be able to honour all of these. Next.
Hi, Scott, Becky, Chris, the one that doesn't speak, and the hot, posh Radio 4 lady. After watching Chris in his music video, nodding his head like the Churchill dog wearing shades, I was wondering how is his bid to win a Brit Award within a year going? Only it seems he's given up after just 2 weeks. This seems to be a theme, coming up with these great ideas and constantly failing to deliver. The sexy Mexican has been yet another victim of Chris's lackadaisical attitude. Maybe this is why he finds it hard to get a job. What do you think? Love you, high five. Matt, off of Newcastle under Lyme, 29 years, 1 month and 13 days old, 6 foot 1, with brown hair and blue eyes, winking smiley.
Nice detail. harsh comments. What have you got to respond to Matt there with?
It almost feels like that is what Deborah Meaden will be saying later on. Something very similar.
And worse, I think. It is true, you do get ideas and then get bored with them quite quickly.
Just because I think of better ideas come along.
Like 100 ideas a minute, that's you. Bam, 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 bam,
ideas,
bam.
Man.
Well, what happened to the Brit Award?
I'm up for doing that, but I think Scott was getting a little bit embarrassed about my ideas to... Effectively, I would have loved to be winning a Brit Award next year. But I don't think you're keen on me really trying for this, because at some point... You're going to have to present me with this Brit Award on stage or, no. You know, you do stuff at the Brits every year, don't you?
Yeah, we always do our show from backstage there. And I do not want to be interviewing you going, congratulations, you've won. Like, this is ridiculous, it's never going to happen.
I don't know. Just needs that one song, doesn't it?
Just the one song.
And it could just be a best
song. Ask Kesha.
Song and...
We played it earlier. And then just make loads that sound a bit similar. Next!
Dear Scott, PR4L, Becky, the one that doesn't speak, and everyone else in the Radio 1 dungeons. The other day, you had a brilliant feature involving Becky screaming vertical beef down the phone.
Yes, we did. It was Becky shouting vertical beef down the phone. It was our game Slip It In.
My friends and I thought it was hilarious and promptly tried to make our own sociology lesson more fun by putting vertical beef in our essays. They chickened out, though, so I felt like a bit of an idiot handing in my work. The only thing is, the teacher didn't even notice. We're going to try again with the next essay and need some more wrestling terms to slip in. Can you help?
Yes.
Thanks a bunch. Lots of love. Katie Nudge. Pronounced Nudge. XXX.
I'm not condoning putting vertical beef in your essays, but it certainly did spice up a couple of calls that we made last week. We did this game called Slip It In, where you have to get a certain phrase in as many times into the conversation on the phone as you can without them noticing. And then the game's up when they do notice. Your words were a good one, actually, Becky, even though you did cheat again.
I did not.
Other phrases you might want to put in, if you so desire, include, these are other wrestling moves, the lamb cannon, donkey omelette,
oh, God, I've forgotten them now.
Chandler Bing.
Yeah.
And
something claw. There was a claw in there.
Testicular claw.
That's the one.
There we are. This is what Becky did last week.
Vertical beef!
Anything else you want to say? Send an email to scott.mills@bbc.co.uk. Go on. Don't be shy. Do it today. Send one in. The Posh Radio 4 lady will read it out in a well-posh voice and all that. scott.mills@bbc.co.uk. Send it.
Radio 1 podcasts.
BBC Radio 1.
That was the Scott Mills Daily. Why not try the Matt Edmondson Show? Available to download for free at bbc.co.uk/radio1.